السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنما يعمر مساجد الله من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر وأقام الصلاة وآتى الزكاة ولم يخش إلا الله، فعسى أولئك أن يكونوا من المهتدين. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: سبعة يظلهم الله في ظله يوم لا ظل إلا ظله، إلى أن قال: ورجل قلبه معلق بالمساجد، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. علماء الكرام، most respected elders and brothers, we are indeed fortunate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with iman, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us in this community in particular with this beautiful masjid that we see. And indeed, this is a great ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we are taught in the Deen of Islam that when Allah blesses a person with a bounty, with a ni'mah, then to express one's happiness on that occasion, this is something that is encouraged in Islam. And we have many examples of this nature in the seerah, in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the life of the Sahaba and the companions, that when Allah had blessed them with a certain bounty, they express their happiness, they express their joy. As believers, we are normal human beings. And therefore, it is not that when a person will become obedient to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his deen will become a very dry kind of a deen. No, a believer is such that when it is a moment of happiness, he will express his happiness. When it is the moment of sadness, then the person will express his sadness. On this point, we think about the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then when he lost his son, he began to tear. And then he uttered words and he said that, "Oh Ibrahim," this was his son, "Inna bifiraqika lamahzunun," that we are experiencing grief at your loss. But of course, the tongue will only utter that which pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, if a person at the time of the demise of someone, he is emotionless, neither is he crying, we'll say that this person is abnormal. In fact, if you go to the specialists in that field, they will say that this may not even be healthy psychologically, that the person needs to express his feelings at that time. And hence we find Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam expressed his emotion by tearing. At the loss of companions, he expressed his emotion. When he lost his beloved uncle, Hazrat Hamza radiallahu an, then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam experienced so much of grief that it is mentioned that every time a janazah was being performed during that occasion, he once again would make janazah for his beloved uncle. And to such an extent that when Wahshi, who had made Hamza radiallahu anhu, had martyred Hamza radiallahu anhu later when he accepted Islam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Hamza, made a request to this effect, O Wahshi, that do not sit in such a place where my gaze falls on you. Because when my gaze falls on you, then I once again experience that pain. So from this we understand that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam experienced emotions of happiness, of sadness, of grief, of sorrow. So subhanAllah, when Allah has blessed us with a ni'mah and a bounty, we should express our happiness, we should express our joy. Within our homes also on this point, we should celebrate the achievements of our families, of our children. I will bring in an example of our late Mawlana Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. He used to say that, look, we know that as Muslims, the celebration of a birthday is not something that is in line with the teachings of Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the practice of the pious. But Hazrat Rahmatullah used to advise those who are running madrasas, in particular, had advised us. He said that, look, celebrate a different occasion. That in the madrasa, within the home, the child completes the memorization of Yasin Sharif. Or let alone the memorization of Yasin Sharif, that the child finished the nazira of maybe his first para of the Quran and Majid. He finished his first para of the Quran and Majid. Why not celebrate that occasion? Maulana in particular is to advise us that make one cake on that occasion and celebrate the completion of that Yasin Sharif or that Surah Waqia. So we have to learn to celebrate in different occasions. That celebrate the happiness and the successes of our children. Celebrate the successes of our families. That when some family member is going through some moment of happiness, that we are there to celebrate and share in that happiness. And when they are going through some grief and sorrow and hardship, we are there to support them. And we are also experiencing that pain. So alhamdulillah, as a collective community, this is indeed a moment of great happiness and joy within our community that Allah has blessed us with a masjid. Maulana Zakaria Sahib, may Allah Ta'ala accept all his khidmat for so many years. He was mentioning to me that in 2008, the Musalla was established. So if you think 17 years, people were performing Salah in that humble little structure, and perhaps it was even more simple before that. So indeed, after so many years of determination and perseverance and continuously supporting that Musalla, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened up the door. So we express our happiness, we express our joy. And when we express our happiness and our joy, we first express our happiness and our appreciation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because remember, whatever we have been blessed with, whatever achievement we've been able to acquire or achieve, then it is only through the ni'mah and the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah ta'ala mentions in the Quran and Majid, وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ, that whatever bounty you have, ultimately it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So firstly, we express our appreciation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is taught to us daily in our salah. When we commence our salah, we say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. That all praises belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we find this in many, many different occasions when a person accomplishes some good deed. He says, Alhamdulillahi bi ni'matihi tatimmu salihat. So praise belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So on this occasion, we express our appreciation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah has afforded us and blessed us with this wonderful opportunity, this beautiful masjid. Now remember, respected elders and brothers, this masjid is not just merely a building, but rather it is a shi'ar, it is a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah has mentioned in the Quran and Majid, وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ, that these masajid, they belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has got its nisbat to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, its link to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hence, when we are entering the masjid, we should sometimes remind ourselves that we are entering the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are certain adab and etiquette, and mashallah, Maulana, after the Maghrib Salah, goes through the different etiquettes and adab. When we enter the masjid, we will enter with the right foot. We will recite the relevant du'as when entering the masjid. On this occasion, something just suddenly comes to the mind, and I will share it with the brothers. That many, many years ago, one of our teachers, Hazrat Maulana Yahya Baham Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, passed away in Johannesburg. He was the Khalifa of Shah Abrar al-Haq Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi. Many have heard of this name. Shah Abrar al-Haq Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, was the Khalifa of Maulana Ashraf Ali Tanvi, rahmatullah alayhi. He was also the Sheikh of, one of the Sheikhs of Shah Hakim Akhtar Sahib. So Maulana had opened a masjid. And on the opening of the masjid, he invited Shah Abrar al-Haq Sahib to come and, you know, initiate the opening. So alhamdulillah, we had the opportunity to be present on that occasion, and I still remember there were certain things that happened and transpired, and I will share it with the brothers. So when he came, and mashallah, he was a person who was very small in size, but Allah Ta'ala had put such a, you know, dynamic appearance to him and such an awe to him that there were people perhaps twice his size, but everyone was so humble in front of him. So when he entered the masjid, the first question he asked is, where is the boundary of the masjid? And because the masjid was still being constructed, perhaps they had not, you know, put the signs. So he became, you know, worried. He said that you've built the masjid, but nobody knows where's the boundary of the masjid. You are depriving people of reciting the dua when they enter the masjid. So mashallah, the next salah, they had some quick, you know, some little notes to depict exactly where the boundary of the masjid was. But look at how particular he was to make sure that when he entered the masjid, he entered with the right foot, and he recited the dua when he entered the masjid, Allahumma iftah rahmatik. That this masjid is a place of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah, open up your doors. I have entered this door of the masjid. Now Allah, open up your doors of mercy upon my heart and upon my life. And then when he came into the masjid, he was particularly passionate over the Quran and Majid. He had deep-hearted love for the Quran Sharif. And of course, a person who loves the Quran and Majid, it is born out of his love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And similarly, the person who loves the masjid, it is because born out of his love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the masjid is linked to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just as the Kalam-e-Majid, the Quran Sharif has got its nisbat to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when he came into the masjid, they had these rehels, you know, where the Quran would be recited, these desks that fold. And one of those desks were opened. So he instructed that it should be closed. Now of course, this is not the mufti and ask that must the rehel always be closed. This is a matter of carpets, but for the Quran Sharif, you got nothing underneath it. So that was his deep-hearted love. MashaAllah, the next salah, when we came back to the masjid, beneath the shelf of the Quran, they had a little piece of fabric out of respect for the Quran Sharif. Again, it is not a masla that if a person doesn't have a you know, carpet, but it is sometimes certain things are born out of respect, and certain things are dependent on the kind of respect a person has. Sometimes a person doesn't need any proof for certain things. One particular great Shaykh al-Hadith was walking in the Haram Sharif. And whilst walking in the Haram Sharif, you know, you find people from different backgrounds, and there was a particular person reciting the Quran Sharif. And after he recited the Quran Sharif, he wanted to perhaps perform sajda sahu or something. So he had his shoes that were next to him, because some of the carpets are such that the marble starts thereafter. So he took the Quran Sharif and he placed it on his shoes. So this Shaykh al-Hadith, when he saw this, it was something that immediately he took the Quran Sharif and he placed it on the shelf. So this person felt offended that I put the Quran Sharif where it was convenient for me, and now you took the Quran Sharif and put it on the shelf. So he took the Quran Sharif and put it back on his shoes. So the Shaykh again took the Quran Sharif and tried to put it back on the shelf, and this person then stood up and now became confrontational. So the Shaykh explained to him that this is the kalam of Allah and these are your shoes. How can you put the kalam of Allah on your shoes? So he said, bring me the proof from the Quran and the Hadith. Bring the proof from the Quran and Hadith that states that I cannot put the Quran on my shoes. So sometimes, you know, you need to appeal to the logic of the person. So what he did is he took the shoes of this person and he placed it on his head. So this person became very, very enraged. He said, what are you putting the shoes on my head for? Do you want to start a fight here right in the Haram? He said, no, you bring me the proof from the Quran and Hadith that states I cannot put your shoes on your head. فَمَا هُوَ جَوَابُكُمْ فَهُوَ جَوَابُنَا. Whatever answer you will give me here, I'll give you the same answer inshallah. So it's basic logic that this is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it requires a certain amount of respect within means. So nevertheless, the masjid and the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a place of great amount of respect. And as we mentioned, that it is not just a building, but rather it is a symbol of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a symbol of unity. It is a symbol of sacrifice, of perseverance. Added to that, on this occasion, it is important for us to also, as a community, express our appreciation for everyone who was involved in the building of this masjid, in whichever way it may be. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, مَنْ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ النَّاسِ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ اللَّهِ. That person who cannot express appreciation to people, he can never really appreciate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something that we should learn in our lives, to be thankful and grateful over any ni'mah or any bounty or any favor that a person renders upon us. The question we have to ask ourselves as a community, how many of us have ever gone to the Muaddin and said, "Bhai, Jazakallah, you've been giving the azan for so many years, may Allah Ta'ala reward you." How many of us have gone to the Imam and expressed our appreciation, "Maulana, may Allah Ta'ala reward you for the years of sacrifice that you've made in a little musalla." As an individual, as a community, we need to express our appreciation. And not only to the Imam and the Muaddin, to our wives within our home. There was one particular doctor who passed away, now Allah Ta'ala make his maghfirat. I noticed about this particular doctor is that after every single meal, he would tell all his children that, "Now all of you, each and every one of you, thank your mother for the meal." And he himself would say, "Jazakallah, the meal was so wonderful. May Allah Ta'ala reward you for the wonderful meal." And he would make every single child express their appreciation to their mother to such an extent that it became such a habit for these children that even later on in life, wherever they were invited, they would somehow try to get the message across to the woman of the house that we would like to express our appreciation. The food was so wonderful. مَنْ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ النَّاسِ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ اللَّهِ. The person who cannot appreciate the favors of people, how can he appreciate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So we as individuals need to learn to express our appreciation to others, learn to communicate. Yes, sometimes it is a person who just doesn't have the confidence. And that is why as parents, we need to inculcate within our children and build their confidence to express themselves with respect. Go and thank your appa for teaching you that now you finish your, Nurani Qaida, you finish your first steps, whatever it may be. Go and thank your appa, give this one chocolate and say, "Appa, Jazakallah for teaching me." Write a little letter to your appa, write a letter to your teacher. So inculcate within our children this quality of appreciating every single bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember, respected elders and brothers, I'm digressing a little. We speak about the quality of contentment. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that the person who has been blessed with contentment indeed is successful. Now, one of the things to develop contentment, in order to develop contentment, is to cultivate the quality of gratitude. Because if a person cannot be full of his bounties, he will never be contented over what he has. And therefore, as parents, inculcate within our children that spirit of appreciating every single bounty that you have. Hazrat Mu'inus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah used to often mention this beautiful example of one particular buzrug, friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was going through severe fever. And some people came to visit him. And when they came to visit him, he said, "Hazrat, how are you keeping?" So he responded, he said, "Alhamdulillah, aankh barabal chal rahi hai. Zuba barabal chal rahi hai." He said that, "Alhamdulillah, my eyes are functioning very well. Alhamdulillah, my ears are functioning very well. Alhamdulillah, this is functioning very well. That is functioning very well. Albatta zara bukhar hai. The only thing is, I just have a little bit of fever." So Hazrat Rahmatullah used to say, look at this lesson that we learn. That first, this friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala counted every single bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then finally, just by way of information, he says, "Yes, I just have a little bit of fever." Because sometimes the person has to inform of the weakness. If the person goes to the doctor and the doctor says, "What's wrong?" He says, "Alhamdulillah, everything is fine. Everything is fine." So the doctor says, "Why you came in the first place?" So at that time, the person has to inform the doctor that, "I have this issue, I've got this problem, I've got that problem." We will not say that the person is complaining. The person is informing the doctor of that weakness, of that sickness. So sometimes, by way of informing, we will make it known what difficulty the person is going through. But first, counting the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, focusing on the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another example comes to mind again. Luqman, the Hakim, the wise person, Allama Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullah alayhi, mentions that he was a very noble slave. He gives an example and he says that he was so noble and had such wonderful qualities that whenever his master bought any fruit, he would first send the fruit to Luqman to eat. And then whatever was left over, the master would eat therefrom. So one day the master brought that particular fruit and it was some kind of a melon, and he ate one piece and the next piece and the third piece and he carried on. So the master became concerned. He said, "Aren't you going to leave anything for me?" So at that time Luqman immediately pulled back. So Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullah alayhi, he dramatizes it. He says when the master took one bite from that melon, he fell down unconscious because of the bitterness of that melon. He fell down unconscious. When he regained his consciousness, he said, "Oh, Luqman, how did you manage to eat this melon that was so bitter? I just took one bite and I fell down unconscious." He said, "Oh, my master, when I thought of the years of beautiful fruit that you sent me, day after day, the wonderful fruit that you used to send to me, and today this fruit came a little bit bitter, I kept on focusing on that beautiful fruit and I started enjoying this melon that I was eating." The lesson that we learned that sometimes Allah Ta'ala tests a person with some difficulty. Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he mentions, Mufti Taqi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali mentions this incident. He said that on one occasion, my sister, she was in her 30s, mid-30s, and she went to, while speaking to her father, Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, she's complaining about her tooth, the pain, the ache on her tooth. So Mufti Shafi Sahib turned around and said that for 30 years, Allah Ta'ala gave you this tooth. Not one day I ever heard you thanking Allah Ta'ala for this tooth. Of course, it doesn't mean the person can't express, but he was making tarbiyat of his daughter. He was teaching his daughter that for so many years, you didn't have any problem with this tooth. Now one day you're going through some difficulty and you're going on and complaining. So cultivating a spirit of expressing our appreciation, and in the building of this masjid, respected elders and brothers, there are so many people that are involved, whether it is the donors, whether it is the people with their wonderful creative ideas, whether it are those individuals who made dua for the building of this masjid. It may have been ulama who had given certain guidance and guidelines. There may have been some lawyers that were, you know, engaged in order for this masjid to be put up. So on this occasion, we are express our appreciation as a community to each and every one of them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that this masjid becomes a means of perpetual rewards for them. Remember, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man bana baytan lillah, man bana Allahu lahu baytan fil jannah," or kama qala alayhi salatu wa salam, that whoever will build a masjid for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will build for that person a house, a palace, in the gardens of a Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless each and every one of us. Now is a responsibility. Remember that every bounty, every ni'mah comes with a corresponding set of responsibilities. Every title comes with a corresponding set of responsibilities. This masjid too, alhamdulillah, there are many, many responsibilities. First of all, it is the heart of the community. What happens in the masjid will have an impact to the entire community. The kind of activities that emanate from the masjid, it will have an impact on the entire community. It is a place wherein we will worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran and Majid will be, the teachings of the Quran Sharif will come out from this masjid. And therefore each and every one of us should make an intention how we can learn the Quran of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How we can make this masjid a place of learning in whichever way we can. And therefore, the masjid also is a place of spiritual reform. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the efforts of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was tazkiyah wa yuzakkihim, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam purified the hearts of the sahaba kiram. And therefore the masjid should also be a place of the purification of the souls. The masjid should be a place of unity. The masjid should be a place of shura. It should be a place of social upliftment. And for that, respected elders and brothers, we look at Masjidun Nabawi. It is the model in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The masjid from Masjidun Nabawi, the kind of activities that took place from Masjidun Nabawi, whether it was da'wah and tabligh, whether it was the activities that were there to uplift and to create unity within the community, to protect the community. And there were many risks in Madinatul Munawwara. We don't have time to go into that details. But this should be the objectives of the masjid. And therefore, remember we spoke about appreciation. Now remember, appreciation is not only on the tongue. Because that is very, very easy also. Just to confine the appreciation to the tongue, that is very, very easy. It is what we term as lip service. Again, a light-hearted incident of Morana Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. He says that a person, his dog was about to die. And, you know, he was crying that this dog has been my loyal companion for so many years and now this dog is about to die. So somebody was passing by. He said, "Bhai, what's happening?" He said, "The dog is dying." He said, "Why?" He said, "Starvation." He said, "But I see you got a basket of food next to you. Whose food is this?" "My food." He said, "Why do you give the food to the dog?" He said, "No, you see, these tears are free, but the food is not free." So it's an example that now it's very easy to shed the tears and to express our appreciation. But sometimes that appreciation has to be, you know, the actions, as they say, speak louder than words. We have to now put into action. True appreciation is that, respected elders and brothers, the objective of the masjid was for the establishment of salah. And we have to make sure that we are establishing salah in our lives and we are coming to the masjid. We are making the masjid abad. We are reviving the activities of the masjid in whichever way we can. There are many programs that would take place in the masjid. As far as possible, if we have the time, we should take advantage that are taking place in the masjid. Inculcating within our children the love for the masjid. We want our sons to come to the masjid. We want them to develop the love for the masjid. In the hadith that we stated in the introduction, that there are 7 categories of individuals who will find shade under the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one category is that individual whose heart was attached to the masjid. Therefore, our hearts need to be attached to the masjid. And we must develop that love for the masjid. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the tawfiq. And then caring for the masjid in whichever way we can. One is building the masjid and one is maintaining the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In whichever way we can maintain the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it is the structure, whether it is, you know, whatever we can contribute towards the usage of the masjid. In fact, in that incident, and I will terminate on this, Shah Abrar al-Haq sahab rahmatullahi, when he went to the wudu khana of that masjid, he said that he looked at the wudu khana and he said, "You've made the wudu khana so attractive that people would rather come to the masjid to make wudu than make it at home." So he said, "You should make the wudu khana as simple as possible." Of course, we know that we are living in a different country and we have a different lifestyle. But the reality is that we should try our best to perform our wudu at home and then come to the masjid. He said the real purpose of the wudu khana are for those individuals who've come to the masjid, their wudu broke, now they have a place to make wudu. People who are sitting in i'tikaf, now they need to make their wudu. But now if every person has to say, save the water at home, we'll use the masjid water. We were making imamat in Masjid al-Nur during the lifetime of Hazrat Mahmud Patel Sahib Rahmatullahi. We had one musalli who came and expressed his disgust that the water was so cold in the wudu khana. So I went to Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullahi and said, "Hazrat, he's complaining that the water is very cold." So Hazrat asked me, "Who is that person?" So Hazrat said, "That tell him he can contribute towards the electricity so that the geyser can run." So sometimes it's very easy, you know, to complain why this is not right, why that's not right, why there's no water. But the reality is that we should not take advantage of the masjid. Try to make your wudu at home and only use the masjid and the amenities of the masjid if we really need to, especially when it comes to the water and the lights. If we find that there's no one in the masjid and a light is switched on, switch it off. I saw this in the life of Hazrat Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. So paying attention to maintaining and looking after the masjid, securing the masjid, we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes this masjid a markaz of hidayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes this masjid a means of changing hearts. And that's the real success of the masjid. The masjid is not only about the beauty of the structure, it's about the beauty of the musallis. That if the musallis' hearts are as beautiful as the masjid, we can say, alhamdulillah, we have really succeeded as a community. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala beautify our hearts with the activities and the love of the masjid. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Protect all our masajid in this country. We are extremely proud of the number of masajid and madaris and darul ulums that we have in the country. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala change the condition of this country from insecurity to security, from instability to stability. And may Allah blow the winds of hidayah. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.